Our second scripture reading today comes from Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live in Christ and to die is gain.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, right now as we come before you, Lord, we just so thankful for this opportunity, Lord, and we just invite you into this time. Heavenly Father, I just give you this time. I pray that you would hide me behind the cross. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would lead, and it wouldn't be me that's speaking, but it would be from you, Lord God. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you prepare our hearts even right now, so that we don't leave here the same way that we came in, Father God, that we draw closer to you in this time. Lord God, that we would all take something from this here this morning, Lord, that we could use for your glory. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, and we give you this service, and we invite you into all of it, and we thank you. We ask this in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so if you want to join with me, we're going to be in John 10:10. If anybody would like to follow along in the in your Bibles. So, in John 10:10, in the second part of John 10:10, Jesus says, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. I've come that you may have life and have it to the full." In another version, Jesus says, "My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." A rich and satisfying life. I want that. I'm sure you do too. A rich and satisfying life. A life that's full. And I want to ask you here this morning, are we experiencing life to the full, church? Full of his grace, his mercy, his love, his forgiveness. How about the Lord's deliverance? Are we experiencing the Lord's deliverance in our life this morning, church? You know, I praise God, I walk daily in the Lord's deliverance. And I praise God for that, you know, deliverance from drugs, from alcohol. And I praise God daily for that this morning, church. Are we experiencing a life full of his deliverance? Deliverance from the chains that weigh us down. And we all have chains, don't we? We all have things that weigh us down. Those worries, those concerns, right? Addictions, depression, fear, anger, all kinds of things, right? Do we have deliverance from that this morning? We want freedom from all that, don't we, church? We do. You know, I gave up drinking alcohol over 6 years ago, and I thank God for that. But now, you know what I do? I drink more coffee than a little bit. I'm telling you, I drink more coffee than I should, or any one person probably should. I do. And that's a problem. But if I was to ask all of you here this morning, and I know you know that, I drink a lot of coffee, but if I was to ask you here this morning, who here wants more Jesus? Most of you would probably raise your hands, right? If I was to say, who here wants more Jesus? Yeah. Everybody would probably raise their hand. How about if I was to ask you here this morning, who needs more Jesus? Who needs more Jesus? We all have our hands up, wouldn't we? We all should have our hands up, right? In Philippians 1:21, as we just read, the Apostle Paul is saying, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Another version in the NLT, it says, for to me, living means living for Christ. Living means living for Christ. And dying is even better. Amen. As Christians, we want more Christ. We need more Christ in our lives. To live is Christ. I want to ask us this morning, do we live as Christ, church? Do we daily live as Christ? Do others see Christ when they look at us? Do others see Christ in us? You know, Paul says in verse 20, leading up to declaring that to live is Christ and to die is gain, verse 20 says, I eagerly expect. That's what jumps out to me when I started saying that. When I started reading this, I was like, I eagerly expect. This is Paul saying, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed. That I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. 21 says, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. My friends, can we say that this morning? Can we say that to live is Christ and to die is gain? To live is Christ. You know what? I can't say that all the time. I can't say it all the time. I'm convicted by this because I have to ask myself, do I live as Christ all the time? How about on Friday night? Do I live as Christ when I'm out with my friends? How about when the lights are out, nobody's watching? Am I still living as Christ? How about when nobody's around or those people are over there talking about somebody? Am I joining in? Am I living as Christ even in those times? Even in those times that nobody is watching or nobody is around? How about when, I don't know, something doesn't go our way at school or at work or, you know, in the hallways? Do we act or we react as Christ even when things don't go our way? Even when it's not the way we think it should be, do we act and react as Christ would? You know, I'm convicted by this because I don't always do that, and I don't always do the right thing. I don't. You know, or I find myself complaining. You know what? I get opportunities sometimes down at New Day. A lot of you know I work at New Day as well, and we get these, like, preseason tickets and things, and we get these preseason tickets, right, to go to a game. And we go to a game, myself, Miss Chris, and even Amari. He's here this morning, my buddy that I hang out with from New Day, and I mentor at New Day. And we were at this game, and you know what? I'm complaining because we're all the way up here, and we're not down here, right? We get free seats to a game. We had a great time, and we had fun and all that, and it was a good game. And it was an awesome night. But I find myself complaining because we're sitting way up in peanut heaven and not down at the bottom, right? Something so small, something so little. And I find myself complaining about that. And here is Paul sitting in jail. Sitting in jail as he writes this saying, allow me to have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted. So that Christ will be exalted. I complain because somebody pulled out in front of me or gets a parking spot that I wanted, right? I'm complaining about that. They get the closer parking spot, you know? I complain because I go to the coffee pot and there's only that little bit in it or it's gone, you know? I mean, I find myself complaining about that, right? There's just that little bit. And I'm like, man, you know, but I'm sure that's just me. Nobody else in here does that, right? Right? Well, I figured, you know, I have to make another pot of coffee that takes like 2 or 3 minutes. And I find myself feeling some sort of way about it. But here is Paul saying, although I'm in chains, in jail, although I'm in prison, now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death, whether if I'm living or I'm not, Christ will be exalted. Do we exalt Christ by the way we live? By the way we act? By the way we react? You know, I'm convicted by this because here is a man in chains. Here's a man with no freedom, sitting in jail, in a jail cell for preaching the gospel of Christ, what I'm doing right now. He's sitting in jail. May Christ be exalted, he is saying. Is Christ exalted by the way we live? Even when things don't go the way we think they should, or the way we want them to, or that person did pull out in front of us, that person did take that spot, or somebody did drink that last cup of coffee, or that person at school or at work is talking junk about us, or something happens that we don't think should happen. Whatever it is Christ exalted by the way we live our lives? Is he exalted by the way we act and react to those situations? So I'm saying the word exalt. Exalt, the definition is hold someone or something in very high regard. That's to exalt, right? Think or speak very highly of. Okay, a few synonyms of exalt are glorify, praise, worship, hold in high esteem, look up to. We want others to see us as that, right? We want them to see that when we're going through something in our own lives, when something isn't going right. I know I pray and ask for that. But you know, when we take our eyes off of Christ, it's real easy to live like the rest of the world, isn't it? It's real easy to complain about those things. It's real easy to be frustrated and complaining and always upset about certain things when we take our eyes off of our Lord and we put them on the world. Opposite of living a life or behaving in a way that exalts Christ. Opposite of that. With our eyes off of Christ, we don't live a life of praise and worship to our Father in heaven. We complain and get overwhelmed. Me as well, right? I mean, it happens. And for some of us, for good reason. Some of us are going through some really tough and difficult situations in our lives. But Paul says, may my life exalt your name. Even though stuff is real bad in my life, even though it's tough, even though I'm in chains, sitting in prison, may your name be exalted, Lord. Life to the full, right? We want a full life. A life full of Jesus, right? A life full of his blessings in our life. And Jesus came to give us that. Amen. But you know the beginning part of John 10:10? That's also true. And it says this. It says, the thief, he comes to steal, he comes to kill, and destroy. Satan wants us to complain. He wants us to be overwhelmed. He wants us to take our eyes off of the Lord and put them on these situations. Satan wants our lives in chaos and confusion. He does. But 1 Corinthians 14:33 says that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. God's not the author of that confusion, but of peace. You know, Satan wants us to even miss what I'm preaching here this morning. He wants us to be more worried about what's going on our phones, or, you know, where we're going to eat, or, you know, man, this dude's taking a long time, right? I mean, Satan wants that because he wants us to miss what the Lord has for us. He wants us to be thinking about all that other stuff that's going on, not about what the Lord has for us right now here this morning. You know, I talked about confusion and about the Lord not being the author of confusion. For me, growing up, it was confusing. It was. I grew up in a home, most of you may know, that I grew up in a home with a Christian dad, right? And mom, my dad was a pastor, and it was a normal upbringing, and, you know, everything was fine, and but I was expected to go to church all the time, right? I don't know if any other kids in here can relate to that or not, but I had to go to church every Sunday, right? And had to go to youth group and things like that. And, you know, I can remember growing up, and as I'm growing up, as a youngster, about middle school age, about fifth grade, I can remember not the kids in the youth group, but the kids at school, you know, public school, they start saying, man, your parents are strict. I'm like, why are my parents strict, right? Well, because you have to go to church, and you have to do this, and you have to do that, right? So I started thinking my parents were strict. And do you know what that did? That was when Satan used that lie to put a block, to put something in between me and the life that God had for me. You know, Jeremiah 29:11 is a scripture that I use a lot in my life. And you'll hear me say it a lot the more you're around me, because I've leaned on it so hard these past 6 years. It says, for I have a plan for your life. It's a plan for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And God's got a plan for our lives, no matter what age, no matter where we're at. God has a plan for our lives. For me, as a fifth grader, hearing that lie, that was the first block that stood between me and what the Lord had for me. Well, you know, I started hanging out with these friends that weren't the church kids, but I started hanging out with these guys, and you know what started happening? We started doing things we shouldn't have did, things I knew were wrong, but we started experimenting, right, with, you know, alcohol, drugs, things like that, and we started doing things that we shouldn't have been doing at a young age. Something else that started in my life that came between me and the life that God had for me, the plan that he has for my life, something else standing in the way of that. You know, I was an athlete, started playing sports, and, you know, I was kind of finding my identity in that, right? But I also started to find out right around that time about girls. And, you know, we have kids that are growing up with things on our phones and things like that, and it's a little bit different nowadays. But I know for me, that's when I started taking my eyes off of what the Lord had for me and started putting it on other things, and that's when girls were introduced into my life and inappropriate relationships. And that is something else that's standing between me and the life that the Lord has for me. My friends, some of you prayed for me when I was in a car accident, June 28th, 1995. And I thank God that you did, because I'm here right now because of it. I believe in prayer 100%. But once that happened, when I came back, my identity was shook. I didn't know. I was trying to, you know, I don't know about some of you youngsters, but I wanted to be cool. I wanted to fit in. I wanted to do things. And that started happening. More and more, I wanted to be cool. When I came back from that wreck, I praise God that He saved my life. But I was chasing after cool, and I wasn't chasing after the Lord. My friends, growing up at around that age, I stopped going to church as much as I did. I told you, I had to go to church, right? But I started getting a little bit older. I'm getting into high school now, and I'm not going to church as much, and I'm not getting that positive influence in my life, right? I'm not hearing from those people of like mind and like faith. I'm trying to be cool. I'm hanging out with friends. I'm starting to lie. I'm starting to cover up things. And I'm lying all the time at this point. My friend, something else. That's standing between me and the life that God has for me. In high school and trying to figure it out, you know, I'm at this point lying all the time. And I'm skipping school and I'm doing things that I know I shouldn't be, but I'm chasing after the world and those lies, and I'm not chasing after Him because I took my eyes off of Him and I'm looking at everything else, and I'm trying to fill that void with the things that the world is offering me. And it was lies. I'm getting in trouble. I'm doing things, lying to my parents and things like that. Skipping school, doing all kinds of things. All these things start gathering up. All these lies start stacking on each other. My friends, it started out as something fun. It did. It started out with trying to be cool. It started out with, you know, well, everybody's doing it. I'm just trying to fit in, right? My friends, that turned into an addiction that lasted for a long time. And all these lies started to get to the point where I couldn't see straight anymore. All of this was standing in the way of the life that God had for me. I can still see out of this. I can still see you, my friends, but not very well. It's a lot harder. I can move, but I got to take all this with me, because all this is standing in the way of the life that God had for me. My friends, I don't know what these blocks represent in your life. I'm not sure what it is. You know, for me, it was what I just told you, but for you, it could be something different. It could be. I don't know what these blocks represent in your life. But I know for me, it wasn't easy to start taking these down. It wasn't. It took me until I started getting into a lot of trouble. And guess what I had to do? I had to go before the Lord and I had to surrender. I had to surrender it all to Him. And I had to say, Lord, take this from me. And do you know what He does? He does take it from us. He does. He takes these things down. He took it from me. I stand up here before you, my friend, 6 years sober, over 6 years, and I praise God for that. But it doesn't come without surrendering it to the Lord. But he does take these down. He does, one by one. One by one, he takes them down. Sometimes for some people, they just all go at one time. For me, they came down one by one with a lot of prayer and a lot of surrendering. My friends, sometimes I'm not standing up here and telling you I'm perfect, because I'm not. And sometimes I still bump into some of the things from the past. And absolutely, and Satan still brings some things up and stuff like that. But my friends, through surrender to God, he will free you of these blocks, these stumbling blocks, these things that are in our lives that we give foothold to, that we give a little bit of space, and then they come up and they just turn into something. And my friends, some of you might think, well, this is a message for younger people. I'm, you know, older in age, and I've, you know, seen things. You know, I'm practicing this message in front of my dad, and he gets a call right at that time, asks me to hold on. You know, a guy's 73 years old, still getting asked to go out and preach. God can use us no matter what age we are, no matter where we're at in life. But we have an enemy that is coming against us and is trying to throw these blocks in front of us, trying to keep us from the life that the Lord has for us, each of us. The Lord has a plan for our lives, and it is for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. My friends, as we get ready to close here, and as we sing this last song, I'm going to invite you up for prayer. And if anybody wants prayer, the Lord is saying, we don't have to carry this anymore. These blocks, these things, we don't. We could give it to him. We could give it to him this morning, right now. We don't have to carry these things with us any longer. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you. We thank you and we praise you. God, I pray that, Lord, that if there is anybody here this morning that is struggling with anything in their lives, Lord, that is not of you, I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would free them from that. Lord, that you would work on their hearts, Lord God, that you would continue the work that you have started, Lord God, in their lives. I pray, Father God, that if this message spoke to anybody, that today would be the last day that they walk around carrying those blocks. That it would be the last day that they give in to those lies. But today would be the day that they would say, Father, no more. I'm living for you, and I want that life, that plan that you have for me. Father, I thank you for this opportunity and what you're doing in this church. Continue the work that you have started here. Holy Spirit, have your way. We love you, Lord. We ask this in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus.